Today is Trinity Sunday, and so this morning I'm going to tell you everything about the Trinity, the mystery of the Trinity, and when I'm done, you'll know all there is to know about the Trinity. I'm going to use Phyllis's poem. The poem is called Among School Children. Yeah. And did you have this memorized?
No, used to teach it quite a bit, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, but those lines always came to me, and I thought, why are priests trying to explain what the Trinity is?
Good.
Okay, it's poetic.
It's poetic.
Yeah, right.
Right, exactly. So this poem is by William Butler Yeats, and Yeats.
Famous Irish poet.
The English teacher is here. The English teacher is here, and thank you. W.B. Yeats.
Yeats, yeah, W.B.
And the famous Irish poet.
Yeah.
The occasion of the poem was a visit he made to a school in Ireland in 1928. And he saw all the young schoolgirls there. There's an elderly nun that was kind of showing him around. And he saw these school children, the schoolgirls. And he thought back to his lost love of his youth, which is a big theme in many of Yeats' poems. And he thought, this is what she looked like when she was this age. And so it's almost as if she was standing before him. And he started thinking about life and about loss and about aging. And he sort of thought, well, what is life? What is reality? And he began to reflect on that. Is reality, what our senses tell us, hearing and sight and touch and taste? Is it our experiences? Is it our memories? Is it our ideas? Is there something beyond that is part of reality or that is real? What is reality? And so he finishes with these verses. He uses the word bole, B-O-L-E, which is a tree trunk. This is what it says. O chestnut tree, great rooted blossomer, are you the leaf, the blossom, or the bole? O body swayed to music, O brightening glance, how can we tell the dancer from the dance? Really lovely lines. So what is a chestnut tree? Is it the leaves? Is it the trunk? Is it the blossoms? Well, yes, those are all parts of the chestnut tree, but a chestnut tree is more than that. A chestnut tree is also a living organic system. It has roots that draw the water up from the ground and move the sap up into the tree and fill the leaves that fill out in the spring and the blossoms come. So it's this organic unity. But then he goes on and he says that, O body swayed to music, O brightening glance, how can we tell the dancer from the dance? So now he's moving into poetry and metaphor to describe a chestnut tree. A chestnut tree, when you take the whole thing in, is the tree when it's swaying in the wind, and the beauty of it when the sun hits the leaves. It's all these things if you want to really understand what a chestnut tree is. So without poetry, a list of parts of a tree is only, it's just a list, that's all it is. And poetry helps us grasp what it is about treeness. So it's the same thing with the doctrine of the Trinity. The Trinity says that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a list of sort of the parts of God, but it doesn't explain everything about God. We experience God in many ways. We experience God in the Bible, through prayer, through revelation, through experiences we have, through worship. But just like we experience a chestnut tree as a leaf and a trunk and a flower, but a tree is much more than this. God is much more than all our experiences and all our knowledge. We can't understand God unless we take all of these together. So the doctrine of the Trinity is a metaphor that helps us understand the nature of God, the totality of God. Doctrines are attempts to help us understand what it is we believe. Faith comes first, and then understanding. So faith is primary, what we believe is primary, and then we create doctrines to help us understand what it is that we believe. So how did the doctrine of the Trinity come about? Well, in the New Testament, talks about God in many different ways. Jesus talks about he's sending the Holy Spirit in today's gospel. He talks about God as his Father, as Abba, someone he has an intimate relationship with. And Paul talks about God in many ways. In today's lesson from Romans, he talks about how we've been justified by faith through Jesus Christ, and we're at peace with God, and the love of God has been poured into us through the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God is spoken of many ways as creator, as judge, as king, as shepherd, all these metaphors used for God, as mother even sometimes, and in today's lesson from Proverbs, part of God is understood as wisdom, as a woman who was in the beginning with God, creating the world. So there's many, many different images of God in the Bible, but there is no doctrine of the Trinity in the Bible. You can look for the doctrine in the Bible, but it's not there. The parts of it are there, but there's no doctrine in the Bible itself. So after the resurrection, the disciples experienced God in many different ways. They experienced the risen Jesus. They experienced the appearances of Christ in many different ways, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and the guidance of the Spirit as they began to share the faith of Jesus. And they insisted that God was one. They were raised as Jews, which believe that God is one, very monotheistic, but they also insisted that Jesus was God in the flesh and that the Holy Spirit was Jesus' continuing presence. So this was their experience, and that's what they preached about and wrote about. And people began to ask, well, you've got God, and you've got Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. I mean, isn't that three gods? So they had to start coming up with some kind of explanation, some kind of understanding. And there was a lot of debate about this and a lot of argument in the early church. It took them several centuries to come up with a doctrine that made sense of the Christian faith, made sense of the Christian belief. And it came to a head in 325 when the Emperor Constantine wanted to make Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. And he said to the leaders of the church, you've got to come up with a unified statement of faith. And he called a church council and had them hash all this out. And they came up with this statement that God is one being in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is, of course, the basis of the Nicene Creed, which we have said for these 1700 years. And it says God is one, but is also three. And what it does is it keeps the faith coherent. And it keeps us from drifting off into error or to come up with contradictions. That's why we have the prayers in the prayer book that are all Trinitarian. We pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, in order to keep the church focused on the essential belief and not allow us to drift off. That's why we say the Nicene Creed every Sunday. The doctrine of the Trinity defines Christianity against other faiths. So other faiths like Unitarians or Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not Trinitarian. And it makes a distinction so that we can tell the difference. The Trinity affects how we pray. It says that God is one in three persons. And it's important for us to have a personal understanding of God because we pray to a person. One time in my prayer life, I thought I didn't want to just pray to God as an old man on a throne in heaven with a white beard, you know. So I said, well, I'll pray to Creator Spirit. You know, that's consistent with the Bible, and that would make more sense. So I tried that, and it just didn't work for me because it wasn't personal. To me, prayer is personal. I'm praying to God that I have a relationship with. So I went back to using God the Father. Although I know that God is not male. God doesn't have any gender. But it allows us a way to be able to relate to God. So the doctrine of the Trinity has its limitations. It's couched in 4th century metaphysic language. It is patriarchal, father and son, but it is the best statement of the faith that we have come up with. No doctrine or definition will ever capture God. We'll always need metaphor and poetic language. In the end, God is a mystery. The doctrine of the Trinity tells us that God is one, but within God, there is diversity, there is movement, there is relationship. Some people say that the Trinity is a dance between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So going back to our poem, we can say, as Yeats said, how can we tell the dancer from the dance? So thank you for your contribution, Phyllis. Amen.